Support for WPR comes from WIPS with Toward One Wisconsin, a conference on equity, diversity, and inclusion, May 7th and 8th in Eau Claire. Registration information and more is at t1w.org.
Support for WPR comes from the Madison Museum of Contemporary Art, an independent organization dedicated to creating experiences that educate, reflect, and inspire. More is at mmoca.org.
Democratic candidate for governor Mary Burke gave the biggest speech of her campaign so far at this weekend's state Democratic convention in Lake Delton, while her challenger, Brett Halsey, was asked not to speak at all. Meanwhile, hundreds of same-sex couples rushed to county courthouses to get married after a federal judge ruled that the state's ban on gay marriage is unconstitutional. We'll dig into these issues this hour on the State Capitol Report. Good morning, I'm Cynthia Schuster in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 7:07 on Monday, June 9th. Coming up later, we'll talk with the legal director of the American Civil Liberties Union of Wisconsin, the group that challenged Wisconsin's constitutional ban on same-sex marriage. And we'll get your reaction to the court's decision as well. But first, let's look back at this weekend's Democratic Party convention with Chris Larson. He's a Democratic state senator from Milwaukee and the Senate Minority Leader. Senator Larson, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me, Cynthia. I got to apologize right away for my voice. I had a sore throat that I'm still recovering from.
All right. Well, we hope that you get well soon, and I'll try not to wear out your voice this half hour.
Thanks.
First, let's get your reaction to the federal court ruling announced Friday on the same-sex marriage ban. Was that good news to you, and did that come up at all this weekend at the convention?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was terrific news. This is something absolutely going to happen in Wisconsin. Every state that's taken up gay marriage and its constitutionality has said that it is against the United States Constitution to have one set of rights that are available for one set of the population and a different set for another. So it was absolutely expected that they were going to come out, the court was going to come out and say that equal marriage was allowed for any person who chooses to get married in our state. So we were really thrilled. Everybody in the room was thrilled when the news came out. And it came just before we started the convention, and it was a theme about victory and how history is on our side here, and we're looking forward to having a few more victories over the next few months and leading up to November 4th.
Well, give us some of the highlights from this weekend's convention in the Dells. What was the primary message that the party was hoping to put out this year?
Well, I think it's that we are looking to take Wisconsin in a positive direction again. We've seen the divisiveness that's happened over the last 4 years under Governor Walker and the Republicans in the Assembly and in the Senate. I mean, to be clear, Walker has had complete control over our state outside of a very small time where the Senate was in Democratic hands for a few months, but we didn't go into session. So he's had complete control to do whatever he's wanted. And with that, he's led our state to fall behind all but one of our Midwestern neighbors in job creation. We're falling way behind on entrepreneurship. We're continuing to see money steered towards cronies, to people who donate to his campaign instead of other worthy investments. We're seeing a socially divisive agenda, one that goes after women, one that continues to not recognize gay couples as having the same love as straight couples. And beyond that, it's something that's not matching up with Wisconsin. So what we're looking to do is take it in a positive direction, make sure that we are restoring democracy for Wisconsin and allowing our state to move forward again under the leadership of Mary Burke, who is invested in the state long term, is somebody who's going to lead us out of this and continue to be a good governor, as opposed to somebody who is using Wisconsin as a political platform and trying to squeak by another election so he can get out of here on the next plane out of town. We want somebody who's invested here. We also want a Senate that's going to be invested in the people who live here. We've got a slate of really great candidates running against those who rubber-stamp Walker's divisive agenda, and we're confident that they're going to be winning this fall as well.
And Mary Burke gave a speech at the convention this weekend. Did she stake out her territory in the race for governor, in your mind?
Absolutely. I think she showed very clearly, it's something a lot of people don't realize, is that over $2 million has already been spent trying to attack Mary Burke. Just think about that, $2 million, if somebody was spending that against you. And what's happened is that it hasn't brought her down. It's actually made her stronger, where now she, as everybody knows, is polling even with Scott Walker. And, you know, taking a step away from it all, I think we're all in politics all the time here, but taking a step away from it, you have to remember, Scott Walker has spent more money than any politician in our state in such a short time span, and yet he is still, and they've spent the $2 million against Mary Burke, and yet he is still stuck at 46%, and Mary Burke has crept up on him. And here we are 5 months out from the election, and then Mary Burke showed that, and she showed why. She showed why by talking about the people she cares about in our state, showing that she cares about the people throughout our state, from teachers to workers who are looking to get an increase in the minimum wage, who have been struggling under Walker's economy the last 4 years, to children who have had their education cut, and the parents who want to make sure the kids have smaller class sizes so they get the attention that they need, and more. I think she outlined a very clear path, and I'm looking forward to her to continue to do that across the state of Wisconsin as folks get to know her a little bit better.
We'll wait for the official list of candidates coming out of the Government Accountability Board elections division this week. But it does look like Brett Halsey has enough signatures to get on the ballot, and there will be a Democratic primary, at least among the two candidates, maybe more. Do you think that that's going to stall the momentum that you see, that you say is building up for your party this year?
No, not at all. I think everybody is on Mary Burke's team. There was a poll taken, a straw poll, and she had, I think, 90, 95 or 99% of the vote of the people who were there. Brett Halsey was wandering around the convention. Everybody was mostly trying to avoid him, and I think most people are not. The media really likes his antics, and I think that he's got some issues, and I wish that the media wasn't paying him such close attention, because the fact is everybody's really united around Mary Burke and are looking forward to seeing her as being our next governor.
Joy Cardine talked to Mordecai Lee. He's a political scientist from UW-Milwaukee last week, and he said that the Dems were making a tactical mistake by not letting Halsey speak at the convention and that he'll be getting more attention by not speaking. What's your response to that?
Well, I mean, I think the thing is with Brett, frankly, is that he's spending a lot of his time attacking whoever is near him, and he's going about this all the wrong way. He's got these strange tactics that most people would describe as absurd, and I think if it were in any other field besides politics, people wouldn't pay him any attention at all. People would know right away that he's not qualified for the position. You know, if he were bringing ideas forward and we were looking to have a engendered debate on the issues, I think that would be a different story. But unfortunately, Brett Halsey is spending a lot of his time attacking people, and he ended up, I mean, we know that the reason he's running for governor is because he couldn't win his own representative seat back, where there were so many people running against him in that primary. So I think the fact is, you know, if people wanted to hear Representative Halsey, they could have found him around the convention. And if you look at the straw poll, I think it was less than 10 people actually wanted to vote for him in the straw poll. So I'm sure that those 10 people connected with him and had a, you know, had found what they needed from him.
We're talking with Senator Chris Larson. He's Democratic state senator from Milwaukee and the Senate Minority Leader. We're looking back at this weekend's state Democratic convention. You can join our conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Are you hoping the Democrats take back the Senate, or would the state be better off keeping it in Republican control? What questions do you have for Senate Minority Leader Chris Larson? 800-642-1234, and our email address is talk@WPR.org. I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Joy Cardine, on the State Capitol Report here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Joy Cardine. We're talking with Chris Larson, Democratic State Senator from Milwaukee and Senate Minority Leader, about the state of the of the state Democratic Party and sharing his outlook for the fall elections. What are the biggest issues facing the state in your mind? You can let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Senator Larson, it sounds like you like the Democrats' chances of taking back control of the Senate. Why do you predict that at least three Republican seats will flip to the Democrats?
Well, I think we have six competitive races that we are going after with full force. Six races where the numbers are close or favor Democrats. And in these six races, out of those six, three of them are now open seats, two because they were pushed out by the Tea Party, by Republicans, and one where Senator Lybum decided to run for Congress. And so three open seats of those six, and we need to pick up three total in order for us to gain the majority. We've got tremendous candidates, people like Martha Lanning, who have been running for nearly a year now. Somebody who's brought her community together, saw a need for an intergenerational care center, helped raise over $4 million to do that by bringing Democrats and Republicans together. She's a mother of three, and she's somebody who has been in that district for a long time and represents the values there and presents a really good opportunity in an open seat where the Republicans are still fighting in a primary. And that's just one of them, you know. Another one is Senate District 1, where the Republicans' candidate doesn't even live in the district, Frank Lissay. He's somebody who has been a senator for 4 years. And to be clear, you don't have to move into a district until after you win it. Frank Lissay won 4 years ago, but has neglected to actually move into the district he's supposed to be serving. We filed a complaint with the Government Accountability Board. We're confident that that is going to kick him off of the ballot, which gives us a very clear chance to win that seat. And even if it doesn't kick him off the ballot, Frank's going to have a heck of a time going around explaining why he thinks he should serve a community in Door County, Kewaunee, and Brown when he hasn't lived there, where he hasn't bothered to live there, where his business address, his forward address is his address in Racine instead of the one that's in De Pere that's supposed to be in the district. So we're confident in that seat, and of course there's still four more with tremendous candidates running on a positive agenda as compared to the divisive one that's gotten us gotten our state in the place that it is right now.
Well, and that part of the state is often considered purple, with the U.S. congressional seats kind of flipping parties over the last few years a couple of times. But Lissay is calling your complaint frivolous. What's your response to him, and do you think it's possible that the district there will flip over once again to the Democrats?
Well, it's not frivolous. The fact is, I think a lot of people up in Brown, Kewaunee, and Door counties have been looking around wondering where their state senator has been the last 4 years, and as have we. And so we looked into it, and it turns out he never bothered to actually move up there and has been living in Racine, and you can't make this up. He actually lives within a couple of blocks of the senator who serves down in Racine in the 21st Senate District, you know, and he's going to functions down there instead of the one that's a three-hour drive away. That's something that's not acceptable. If the Government Accountability Board is going to actually say that you have to reside in your district, if we're going to follow that law that a person serving a community has to live in that community, this is the case that they're going to decide if they're going to be a laughingstock, if that rule is going to actually be followed. But yeah, we're confident in the case that we have brought forward. There's notarized documents that show that Frank Lissay listed his home address as being in Racine instead of De Pere, where he's supposed to serve. So that case will be decided tomorrow before GAP.
Jason on Facebook says, it's always possible that Democrats could win the Senate. A strong voter turnout and a unified message should help the cause. Sadly, the immense spending on the other side will make for a tough barrier to overcome. What's your outlook there?
Well, I do think that spending can have a tremendous impact on our state, but if there's any state that's going to be immune to all of this spending, it's going to be Wisconsin, because so much money has been spent here over the last few years. I do think a lot of people already know exactly where they stand on different parties. I think there's folks who are looking for a change. And I think that's very clear by the last election that we had, where we elected Tammy Baldwin to the U.S. Senate and we reelected Barack Obama to president. And I think that there is, given that the money that's flowed into the state, there was, like I said before, there's $2 million already spent against Mary Burke, and it hasn't landed a blow against her. So I think most people understand when there's this out of money flowing in, and there'll be a lot of it, that people get that that is special interest groups, specifically business interest groups that are looking to try and make a buck off the people of Wisconsin and aren't necessarily interested in our long-term future. They're more interested in being able to get the candidate that they want, to get the policies that, that help them but actually hurt us. I think people recognize that and are going to vote for what helps them, what helps their neighborhoods, what's going to restore funds to their kids' schools, what's going to continue to protect our environment instead of selling it off to an out-of-state mining company, and make sure that people have the rights that they're due, whether it's for women, whether it's for homosexuals and LGBT community, or whether it's for people who have been suffering under Walker over the last 4 years. I think they're going to vote what's going to be best for them in their community.
It's also an off year insofar as there's no presidential election to draw more voters to the polls. That's historically favored Republicans when there's lower turnout. But how do you expect your party to be sure of success in this off year?
Well, we've been out there working hard already. We have staff on the ground, so which is key in making sure that we're talking directly to voters. The candidates that we've had have been out there already talking to people about the values that they believe in and what's going to help their communities. And that's key. We're 5 months out from the election, and I think, being out there this early is helpful, making sure that we've got the message that is going to win, pointing out how far our state has fallen behind, 35th in the nation in private sector job growth as compared to 11th when Governor Walker took office, noticing that we are 9th in the Midwestern states, 9th of 10 in Midwestern states. I think people look at that and they recognize that it's not just Walker, that he has had the state Senate, and he's had the state assembly who's been behind him rubber stamping his agenda. I think people aren't going to be happy with that. At the very least, they're going to be wanting a check and a balance in our state again. And I think they're looking to hire a new manager in Mary Burke to run our state, and hiring a new legislature to make laws that actually reflect where our state wants to go.
Let's take a call from Rick in Milwaukee. Hi, Rick.
Yes, good morning. With now 20 states have passed some kind of medical marijuana program, I'm wondering why Wisconsin is so far behind on that issue. I know a few years ago when Governor Doyle was in, he said he would sign medical marijuana legislation, and there was control of the legislature by the Democrats, yet nothing happened.
Senator Larson, is that something that's on your agenda?
Yeah, Rick, I appreciate the call. I was elected just 4 years ago, so I wasn't in office at the time. And I do think that medical marijuana is something that makes sense. I think most states that have this, there was the hyper rhetoric that the sky was going to fall in. That hasn't been the case. Some states have actually gone further in allowing very controlled legalization of marijuana and decriminalization in Colorado and in Washington. And I think in those states, we're watching very closely to see what happens. But, yeah, at the very least, I do think Wisconsin should join the push for medical marijuana so that people who are suffering from debilitating disease have the option of all drugs available to them to make sure that they're going to be taken care of. I think that's something other doctors have done across the nation. I think, the sky hasn't fallen there. I think Wisconsin can do that as well.
If the Democrats do regain control of the Senate, what would the priorities be?
Well, we have a number. One of the biggest ones that we've talked about the most is, of course, we want to see jobs created. We put forward a jobs plan before the Republicans this last time, and we would move forward on that. One of the big pieces is prioritizing buying Wisconsin businesses before we are looking at other states to do our contracting. The state is a big contractor, and we should be buying Wisconsin first. Another is restoring funds to our technical colleges. It's funny that Scott Walker and the Republicans like to talk about how much they love technical colleges, but they actually gutted the budget and have not restored the full funding that they cut back in the first budget when they were put in charge. So we would make sure that that is fixed. Technical colleges tend to be a clear bridge from unemployment to employment, or from having one job to getting a better job. That's something Democrats have prioritized. We fought back when they tried to gut it, and we've continued to point out that they cut that. And we would make sure that that is restored, because people need jobs and people need better jobs. So that would be a key part of it. For me, I represent the UW-Milwaukee campus, UW-Madison, and our other great institutions across the state. We tend to be an education state. But the problem is a lot of students who've gone to college end up having debilitating debt after they graduate. We saw that problem. Democrats introduced a bill called Higher Ed Lower Debt. Senator Hansen up in Green Bay and Representative Mason down in Racine put this together. And what it does is it allows students to refinance their loans within the state, so they get a lower interest rate because the state has better interest rates than the banks are going to give them. It also allows them to write off payments in their taxes to encourage them to pay that off faster. So, I mean, a higher education should be a pathway to a better life. It should not be a pathway to debt. And
that's well, Senator Larson, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You bet. Thank you, Cynthia.
That's Senator Chris Larson, Senate Minority Leader, and he's joining us on the State Capitol Report, giving us a roundup of the Democratic State Convention that took place this weekend. Coming up after the news, we'll check in with the American Civil Liberties Union of Wisconsin as they react to the federal court ruling on same-sex marriage. I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.